Hi again, everybody. It's Chuck Ross, Editorial Director of Television Week, and we're here once again after a too long absence, and certainly in my mind as a huge fan of the show, of 24. And it we had the movie last night, 24 Redemption, which is going to lead into the new season in January. And on the phone once again is showrunner and oft-times writer of the show, and of course the writer of Redemption, Howard Gordon. How are you, Howard?
I'm well, Chuck. Thanks.
I got to tell you, the show last night was very, very exciting. And let's talk a little bit about going out of the country and shooting 24. Is that something you had played with in other seasons to maybe do a little bit out of L.A.? And we'll talk a little bit, of course, about the season being set in D.C. for next year, though being shot here in Los Angeles. But what about going out of the country?
Well, it's something, obviously, you know, we thought about usually in the context of how much longer can L.A. take it. So, I mean, we've often talked about resetting the show something else, and obviously the challenge of shooting a show in real time, L.A. is perfect because of its temperate climate, and you can sell the idea of a day over a year, shooting over a year. It's a much different prospect in Washington, or certainly was in Africa, because it was the middle of winter and the weather changed from moment to moment. And even though it was only 2 hours of real time, we went from, you know, pretty much monsoon weather to, you know, crystal blue sky.
Wow.
Africa was something we actually had toyed about doing actually as part of the season, the main part of the season, season seven.
Mm-hmm.
I would want to incorporate for the first time a time jump or time completion, but we chose not to do it and scrap that idea, and some of that is what you saw last night in Redemption.
Ah, very good. It certainly seemed clear, but I don't know if it was or not, that maybe some of this could have been inspired by some of what's actually happened in Africa, obviously in Rwanda and some of the other countries there. I'm just curious how you sort of got the idea to do the story.
Well, we had certain requirements, for where to locate Jack just physically, and you know, after he obviously had that very existential moment at the end of season six, and
right.
We knew where he was beginning in season seven, which was answering for, you know, his past in front of a Senate subcommittee, and between them, we really had the exercise was simple: what took Jack from that cliff to the Senate subcommittee hearing, and we had a sense that Jack was, you know, had left this country, that he was an expatriate, and and that we knew that we wanted to get him involved in a kind of involving a genocide. So there were, honestly, it felt like the places where that was most possible was Africa, or at least most comprehensible to an audience, that was a certain place in South America or in Africa. And because we'd been, it was just a simple process of elimination, because we spent much of season three in South America. And
right.
they touched on Africa. It just seemed like the right place to do it. And you know, as you say, there were certainly current events and recent history events that made it feel like it played into what we needed the story to be. For instance, Jack helping and the presidential intervention averting a genocide felt like a very supportable and very noble thing for a president to do. And the touchstones of the Rwanda genocide and what's happening in Darfur felt like ways we could shorthand to the audience this otherwise esoteric idea.
Right. And I thought it was also interesting that there were some, during some of the commercial breaks on the show, there were some talk about Human Rights Watch and all that regarding the whole tragedy of child soldiers. Was that something to reach out to the viewers in a real in a real way? Was that your idea, the network's idea?
No, not at all. It was actually our idea. I got to say, it was, one of the things, again, and it came from, you know, who can Jack Bauer connect with? Jack, who has kept the world at arm's length, and sometimes was there for very good reason, because of what happens to anybody close to. Jack is sort of, you know, painstakingly trying to keep the world at arm's length, and who could at distance, but, you know, a child, and an innocent child, and it seems like it may, you know, it threatens to be cliche, but I think it was true to the character. And so
right.
The sense of child soldiers and how, what can Jack do that would break through his insistence that he remains not only arm's length for people, but uninvolved in his heroics. And the subject of child soldiers felt like something that Jack, could do very, that would break through that resolve.
Right.
And it's an issue that the more we researched it, the more profound, we realized it was profound and powerful. It was so much so that I actually asked Fox for some money to produce a documentary, which we've done and which is on the subject, which is on the DVD and which is on the website now, which hopefully will raise some awareness and maybe raise some money for some of the organizations that are trying to stop.
Oh, that's very commendable, Howard. I'm glad you did that. I want to talk to you, and not to diminish that, but going back to the character of Jack Bauer, you were someone I think recently said that he was sort of the last gunslinger, and I think someone connected with the show. That might have been your quote. And I was wondering, have you ever seen the movie Lonelier the Brave with Kirk Douglas?
No.
It's something you might want to see. It's really interesting. It was sort of a sleeper movie when it came out, directed by David Miller in the I think 1962, and he very much plays sort of the last cowboy that's in this urban setting when there aren't any more cowboys. I think you'll find it really, really interesting. It's a great movie. Might want to check it out.
The rhythm of the show is very much, and I told this to Fox when I came up with what it would be, I said this is not a thriller in the very traditional Fox, in the 24th sense of a thriller. It was much more like a Western, and
right.
had the rhythms of a Western and the slow build of a Western.
Right.
And the idea of a guy who is essentially the last cowboy taking these refugees from point A to point B. It was a pretty simple story.
Fantastic. I wanted to ask you another question. Cherry Jones, those of us who are fans on Broadway, I don't think I'd miss a show on Broadway that Cherry Jones is in. She is an incredible actress. And I'm just curious, did you or someone see her in Doubt or maybe in The Heiress, which is another great role a couple years ago where she also won a Tony? She won a Tony for Doubt. And I'm just curious because she's not necessarily a household name unless you're familiar with Broadway. And for those of you who don't know, Cherry Jones is our new president-elect and was the president last night and will be the president next season. I'm wondering how she came on the show.
It was actually Joel Cerno's wife's idea, believe it or not. And again, you're right, it was from her performance in Doubt. And we met Cherry, Joel and I met Cherry, and we knew the moment we met her that we wanted her to do the part. And she's been really a revelation ever since then.
Yeah, she's just a terrific, terrific actress. And yeah, that's what's been one of the really hallmarks of the show. You guys, your casting folks and everything really go out of your way to find really actors who really hit the characters really perfectly.
Yeah, and create things that we often never even saw on the page. And Cherry, in particular, has been a standout this year. And I really, I look forward to the audience's reaction to her. And also, we had John Voight this year, who really is one of our best villains ever.
Right. He is terrific playing the senator. It was terrific last night. And also, it's going to be interesting to see if you get some more young women to watch the show than maybe in the past with now having the character of the president's son, who's the brother of a major character on Gossip Girl.
Oh, really? That'll be interesting.
Yes. And how did Eric join the show? Is that someone that you had been familiar with before? Or?
I think I've read him or seen, I've seen his work here and there, and he's a good actor, and he fits the part beautifully.
Right. Well, sounds good. Anything you can tell me that might be a little different? I mean, one of the differences that's interesting about next season is it's all going to take place, as I understand it, in Washington, though you filmed, I think, most of it here, or have filmed so far most of it here, taking place for Washington, right?
Yes.
And was that a challenge particularly?
It was a bit of a challenge, only insofar as having to, we had to, the show has this very, very loose kind of voyeuristic style and a kind of a 360-degree style. And here we were, sometimes I think we were tempted to show off the location in Washington, so I think we shot things a little bit differently. And also, obviously, the part of L.A. that we shot and had to cover for Washington, we had to avoid the palm trees and stuff. So it did
right.
Some modification in the way we generally shoot the show, but But it was surprisingly, you know, easy. Washington was they opened their arms to us. The film commission was terrific, and we got a lot of assistance, and we have a lot of fans in Washington, so
it
was very helpful.
It's really interesting because when one thinks of special effects and one thinks of things blowing up or those kind of scenes, but I thought the best special effect last night was the realism of that inauguration. I mean, I'm going, my God, all those people came out to see Jerry Jones inaugurated.
It was pretty amazing. You don't even realize some of the stuff you can do now is remarkable. It's actually disorienting. It's so realistic.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to let you want to give us any taste of what we have coming up for in January, because I certainly want to build interest for what we have coming up. I think it's January 11th when you guys come back. Any interesting things that, you know, you've talked to this audience for a long time, over a number of years, anything you just want to give us a heads up for to look for either in the premiere or in the first a few episodes of the coming season?
Well, probably nothing that you didn't see in the wouldn't have seen in the preview.
Right.
Obviously, Tony Almeida is back from the dead. That's an exciting standoff. We're introducing a terrific new character, a young FBI agent named Agent Renee Walker, played by Annie Wershing.
Right.
She's terrific, and the relationship between she and Jack is an evolving. It's obviously done in real time, but they meet for the first time sort of adversarially at the beginning, but that's an interesting relationship to watch. It's just I would call this so far, fastball down the middle this season. We're real happy with, some of the things we did and a lot of what we did. And it's very much in a world, I think we answered some of the, we took this opportunity this year to investigate a little more deeply and dramatically some of the, I would say, the charges against the show. In many ways, Jack standing trial for his past is a theme that we carry through the entire season and has quite a few surprises as we get deeper into it. So I would urge anyone drawing any conclusions initially to withhold judgment and watch.
Excellent. Are you done filming, by the way?
No, we're done in 3 weeks.
Okay.
I'm going upstairs to do another pass on episode 24.
Fantastic. Well, Howard, again, kudos for last night. I haven't seen the numbers yet. I'm sure they were fantastic, and the show was really, really good. Well worth the wait. I hated that you were off the air, but you came back in great style, my friend, and we'll be looking forward to January 11th.
Thank you.
Thank you, Howard.
Bye.
Bye-bye.